And so we need to pray and ask God to help us to walk in the fullness of God's Spirit, in realizing that we're not going to be able to accomplish anything. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And so that's what we need to determine, to have that type of revival in our life, the revival of fervor and faithfulness. And so Jesus Christ is coming again. And when He comes back, we want to make sure He finds us diligent about the Father's business.
Amen.
Isn't that what Jesus said when He was just a young 12-year-old boy? I must be about my Father's business.
Amen.
And so that's the attitude, the spirit we need to have. But I'm going to read some verses out of Matthew chapter 22, the book of Matthew. And in chapter number 22, I want you to notice what the Bible declares here in this passage of Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Amen.
And is profitable. Amen.
Amen.
And praise God, the Lord has preserved His inspiration in the King James Bible. And I'll tell you what, you're going to profit when you allow these truths to become a part of your life. And you'll never lose out when you invest and allow the Spirit of God in the work of God. And so notice what the Bible says here in this passage. Thank you, brother. In Matthew chapter 22, and then I'm going to begin reading verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables. Now that's the way God would communicate a truth, through parables many times, in types, illustrations, in allegories, and sometimes, because we're carnal and we can't always see the truth, He'll use a parable to try to help us to see it, and so that we can get a hold of it. Amen.
Yeah.
And to be able to use it for the cause of Christ. And so He's speaking this parable. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed. And all things are ready, come unto the marriage." Verse number 5 says, "But they made light of it." Why do we need revival? Because many Christians take some things for granted. We make light. We don't take it serious. The things that are important to God many times aren't that important to us. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so we need to pray and ask God to help us to get serious about serving Jesus. But they made light of it. They did not recognize the seriousness of the situation. Amen. They were lighthearted. They were casual. They were lukewarm. No, we see that to be true many times in our churches today. God's people just kind of go through the motions. We get mechanical. We get lethargic, apathetic. We take some things for granted. The Bible says here that they made light of it. And so here in this passage of Scripture, it's a picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb of God. The king here is pictured as God. The son is the Lord Jesus Christ, the groom who awaits his bride, which is the church, when she appears in all of her splendor, all of her glory, at the rapture, which is the next scheduled event according to the word of God. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
And to commemorate this union, there will be a supper, a marriage supper of the Lamb of God, a great feast where all the saints of God will have an opportunity to partake of this tremendous blessing. But I want you to notice there in verse number 5, the Bible says, "But they made light of it." In other words, when you snooze, you lose.
Amen.
Who's with me? Say amen.
All right.
When you snooze, you lose. And if there's ever a day and age when we need to get serious and get busy and to get more fervent about the work of God, the ministry of God, and reaching people with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It's today. Amen. They made light of some things here in this passage of Scripture that I see today. Many people are making light of. Not serious. Not paying attention. It's not that important to them. But it's important to God. Amen.
Amen.
We need to pray and ask God to help us. Notice they made light, first of all, of God's invitation. God gave them an invitation. He sent out these servants to invite these people to the wedding. It's a time of the Great Commission. God sends us out. Amen?
Yeah.
Into the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in that the house of God might be full. Notice the Bible gives us the extent of the invitation. The Bible says that they went out to both bad and good. And we understand that bad people need to be saved.
Amen.
Amen. But hey, good people need to be saved.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's not by works of righteousness which we have done.
That's right.
But according to His mercy, He saved us.
Amen.
Sometimes people today get that attitude. Well, I've never, stole anything. And I'm good to my neighbor. And I keep the Ten Commandments the best I can. And the golden rule. Amen.
Yeah.
You know the golden rule. He that has the gold makes the rules. Amen.
Yeah.
But, I'm just good and people to be good to me. But the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith.
Hallelujah.
And that not of yourselves.
Right.
It is the gift of God,
yeah,
not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
And so He gives an invitation to both bad and good. And God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen.
Amen.
Aren't you excited and thankful for that today?
Amen.
That the invitation has gone out to everyone. It doesn't matter your color. It doesn't matter your culture. It doesn't matter your creed. It doesn't matter where you are on the corporate ladder.
Right.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yeah.
Glory to God. For God so loved the world,
yeah, right,
that He gave His only begotten Son. And so the extent of the invitation, the explicitness, it's very simple. Amen.
Yeah.
It's very plain.
Right.
I mean, it's the plan of salvation. It's so simple that a 4 or 5 year old child can grasp it.
Amen.
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 Jesus said, suffer not the little children to come unto me. Who's willing to say amen?
Right.
The Bible tells us that we ought to have childlike faith. But it's a very simple plan of salvation. What did He say? Come to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Come now, let us reason together. Thus saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
So many people today are so restless, irritated, irritable. They don't have the peace. They don't have the contentment that God wants you to have. And you'll only receive it by coming to Jesus.
Amen.
That's right.
And you're not going to get it through anything that the devil has to offer.
Amen.
And people try to get involved in all sorts of things to experience peace. But Jesus said, you want peace, you want rest, you want joy, come to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Come to the Lord. And it's a very simple. And God's eager. Luke chapter 15, verse 10. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy, listen to me, in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen.
Amen.
There's joy in the presence of angels.
Right.
Now, angels,
yep,
they know nothing about redemption. They know nothing about any of that. They're not rejoicing. Who's rejoicing? It's Jesus,
amen,
that's rejoicing. Who's with me? Say amen.
That's right.
And perhaps others that have been redeemed. There's a great cloud of witnesses. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
That is encouraging us. But Jesus is eager this morning for you. If you're not saved, don't make light of it. Recognize the seriousness of your situation. That if you're not saved and you die without Christ, you'll split hell wide open according to the Bible.
That's right. That's right.
That's what God says. Amen. And so He wants you to be saved. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen.
Amen.
They made light of God's invitation. They just shrugged it off. They didn't want to listen. They didn't want to pay attention. They didn't want to accept it. They said, no, we're too busy. No, we don't have enough time. No, we got more important things going on in our life than to be trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. Who's with me? When you snooze, you lose. They made light of God's invitation. But I want you to notice, secondly, verse number 7 tells us, the Bible declares, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. Now, who's the king? God. That's the parable, right?
Yep.
He said, his God is the king, and his son is the Lord Jesus. And it's all picture plan of salvation and what we can expect and experience when we get to heaven. And so he says, he was wroth. He was mad. He was upset. He's exasperated. That's God. Amen. I mean, in spite of what the Hollywood crowd, the compromising crowd, and all of that false religious type of crowd says about God, mark it down according to the Bible, God gets mad.
That's right.
Amen. It's called righteous indignation. These six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination.
Yep.
And He goes on to list those things in Proverbs chapter 6. Amen.
That's right.
But it's righteous. And it's like the old Baptist preacher used to say in the old days, don't get God in a killing mood.
Mm. Amen.
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 You believe the Bible? Well, the Bible says there that He sent forth His armies. You know the problem today in our churches and in society? We don't fear God.
Yeah.
We don't fear God like we're supposed to fear God. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way of the forward mouth. Do I hate? Amen.
Amen.
We don't fear the Lord like we ought to.
Amen.
You know, don't take it lightly. Don't take God's indignation lightly. Are you with me?
Amen.
At the height of His anger, God created hell. According to the book of Matthew. In chapter 24. He created this a place called hell. And the key element that caused them to create hell was the element of pride. Amen.
Amen.
What keeps people from getting saved? Pride. What keeps people from getting on the altar and getting right with God? Pride.
Right.
What keeps people from confessing their sin and getting that thing that is hindering your relationship with you? You want to hang on to it. You just want to stay involved with it. It's pride.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
No, it was that pride that Satan had. And he created hell for the devil and his angels. So if you die because sin has come to the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men for the knowledge of sin. And the Bible says that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. You die without Christ. You'll spend eternity in a place that was not designed for you.
Amen.
See, it's God's will for you to be saved.
Right.
It's God's will. He wants you to be saved.
Yes.
But He leaves it up to you. Amen.
Amen.
He gives us a volition, the opportunity to choose. And so the Bible tells us there is a part of His anger. Don't take it lightly. Why did God get so upset? Why did God get so mad? Take your Bibles and look at the book of Luke and chapter number 16. Or excuse me, Luke chapter number 14 and verse number 16. Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. Then said He unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. Now, this is Luke's rendition of this same parable. This is Luke. Now, Luke calls it a supper. Matthew calls it a dinner. So you kind of have a southern, northern slant on it so that, you know, that way everybody will be happy.
Right.
But the Bible says there, that he did. And notice what the Bible says in verse 21. So the servant came and showed the Lord these things. Then the master of the house being what?
Angry.
Why did he get so upset? Verse 18. And they with one consent began to make excuse. You know what angers the heart of God more than anything else? The lame, lazy, low down, lukewarm excuses people make.
Amen.
Why they can't be faithful to God.
Right.
Why they can't receive the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm not ready to get saved. Wait a minute, you're born ready.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I've got plenty of time. Boast not thyself for tomorrow.
That's right.
Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth.
That's right.
Oh, God would never cast anybody into hell. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. We need to stop making excuses. We need to stop letting the devil feed us with these lies and these worldly type of philosophies that are deceiving us into believing the lies of the devil.
Amen.
Don't take it lightly this morning. God's indignation. The Bible tells us that God at the judgment seat had the holy angels will take you up and cast you into the lake of fire. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
God's invitation. God's indignation. The Bible says he was wroth. And then you go on in this passage of Scripture, and verse 11 says, in Matthew chapter 22, and when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Who believes the Bible? Say amen.
Amen.
And so God gives an invitation, but they made light of it. And then, so God manifests his indignation, but they made light of it. God's indignation. Huh? You preach on hell today and people just don't get too stirred up about it. There was a day, maybe you preached on hell.
Mm-hmm.
Who's with me?
Amen.
People would weep. Yeah. Knowing that their loved ones died without Christ.
Right.
Knowing that their neighbors are going to die without Christ. But it just doesn't seem to affect us anymore like it used to.
Yeah.
Who's with me?
Yeah.
Because we just ho-hum about it.
Right.
We take it lightly.
Right.
We take it lightly. It ought to grieve our hearts. And then don't make a mistake and take it lightly. God's investigation. Who's with me? Say amen.
Amen.
He came in to see the guests. Now the Holy Spirit of God is going to investigate your salvation. Are you 100% sure you're saved? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you die today, you go straight to heaven.
Amen.
They came a man didn't have on the wedding garment. Listen, when you get saved, God will clothe you with a wedding garment that allows you access into heaven, access into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, this doesn't indicate that there will be lost people there, unsaved people at the supper. The teaching here is that old-fashioned Bible salvation results in a change.
Yes.
Amen.
Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with a garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decked himself in ornaments, as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. Amen!
Amen.
Right. You have on the wedding garment the change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Hallelujah.
Old things have passed away.
Right.
All things become new. He changes your attitude.
Yes.
You know, before I got saved, my attitude about church was, I don't need church. I don't need church. I don't need to go there and listen to some guy scream and holler at me. But I got saved and changed my whole attitude.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
I want to be in church.
Amen.
I want to be around God's people.
Amen.
I want to hear the preaching of God's word.
Amen.
I want that in my life. And that's a change that only is brought forth by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
He changes your actions.
Amen.
He changes your appearance.
Amen.
And he changes your associations. You don't run with the old crowd anymore. You don't go to the old places anymore. You don't try to put on a facade and pretend to be something that you're not with the worldly crowd. There is a change. I know I'm saved because of conviction. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I remember when my mom and dad got saved. Back in 1974, my dad was 36, my mother was 38. And they were having bad marital problems. And they drove by this Baptist church and said, let's go in here. Just, you know, impressed by the Spirit of God. They went in, they heard the preacher. He was an old stem winding leather, long hellfire brimstone, calling down the thunder. Spitting, spewing, jumping up on chairs. Amen. His face got so red. I was a teenager. I thought his head is going to blow up. You know, for a teenager, that would have been kind of cool. But anyway. You know, but my mom and dad, I thought for sure, we're not going back to that. We went back Sunday night. We went back Wednesday night. Because my mom and dad kept going back and going back. And finally, they got saved. I remember when they got saved. I mean, I thought it was invasion of the body snatchers. Their whole life changed. I'm like, who are these people? You know, I don't cuss anymore. I don't swear anymore. My dad went in the refrigerator, got all the beer,
Amen.
And dumped it down the drain.
Amen.
My mother gathered up all the cigarette ashtrays and cigarette butts and gathered up all the bad material that we had laying around, put it all in the trash bag and threw it away. Say, we're Christians now. We're going to start honoring God and living for God.
Amen.
They took a bus route, started serving God, was on that bus route for 37 years.
Amen.
Serving the Lord. Faithful to God.
Amen.
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 That's a, you said, what in the world happened? They got saved.
That's right. That's right.
They got saved. Investigation. Investigation. The Holy Spirit will investigate. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to investigate.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Do you have on the wedding garment?
Sure.
Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you die, you go to heaven? Oh, when you snooze, you lose.
Yeah.
Don't take it lightly this morning, God's invitation. Don't take it lightly this morning, God's indignation. You'll leave this place. One of three things will happen. Number one, you could die. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Who's with me? Another thing happened. Jesus could come this afternoon. We won't even have church tonight. Jesus could come. That's according to the Bible. Be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. He could come. Or number three, this would be the last time you'll ever experience the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you said no for the last time. You cross over the deadline. God said, that's it. All
right?
I'm not going to bother you anymore. I'm not going to convict you anymore. Isn't that a horrible state to be in?
Yes, it is.
When God just gives you up. That's it. You said no for the last time. You don't want to be in that type of condition.
Amen.
Oh, listen. They made light of it, is what the Bible says. Don't make light of it. When you snooze, you lose.
Right.
Recognize the seriousness of our situation.
Amen.
If you're not saved, get saved.
Amen.
If you are saved, then let's get serious
Amen.
About serving the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, I pray that you'll take this message. Help us to recognize the truth of it. Help us to understand the importance of it, Lord. No, Lord, we see it happening all the time. People just have a lighthearted attitude about God. They just don't care. They're distracted. Other things going on. They just don't have time. They just don't think it's important. I pray that we'll not have this lighthearted, superficial, shallow type of attitude towards the things of God. I pray if there's one here to not saved to get saved. I pray, Lord, for those that are saved, Lord, they need to get baptized, they'll get baptized. They need to join the church, they'll join the church. But Lord, help us to get serious about serving God. Serious about doing the will of God. I pray that you'll bless the pastor as he comes and gives the invitation. And I pray that your people will be obedient to whatever you tell them to do, and we'll give you the glory for it.
So all stand, our heads bowed, our eyes closed. So all stand, heads bowed, and eyes closed. You've heard the challenge this morning. No greater challenge that will ever be preached. Do you know the Lord is your Savior this morning? Do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? The invitation's open. If the Lord's already dealing with your heart, you come on forward. But if you're here this morning and you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, you come forward and ask. We'll show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. Nobody's looking around. This is a personal time between people and the Lord. Christian, you heard a challenge. Don't make light of God's word. There's some of us in here, we know the Holy Spirit's been tugging at our hearts that there's things we need to change. And we're just putting it on. We're just letting it go. You come forward and ask the Lord to help you with that this morning. That's what the altar's up here for us, to deal with the Lord. Do you need to come? Some are already up here. I have a feeling there's more that need to come. Maybe there's some here, you're still fighting it. I know I'm not saved. I know I'm not on the way to heaven. But I just can't let it go. I just can't give in. What's holding you back? What is so important to risk eternity over? Come forward and let the Lord deal with your heart. Let Him save you. Get it taken care of once and for all. Are there more that need to come? Praise the Lord for those that are up here. How about you this morning? You know, he talked about that word called pride. Pride will keep us where we're at instead of giving in to what the Lord has for us. Don't let pride sit there and keep you in your seat when you need to be up here talking with the Lord this morning and taking care of business. Are there more that need to come? We're going to keep the music playing. Those that are up here have all the time they need to keep praying. Are there more that need to come? The invitation is still open. Dude. I would hate to get to the point to think that this would be your last invitation that God gave. This was it. You could be sitting in your seat right now and experiencing the last chance God gives you. You better take advantage of it while you can. Even as a Christian, we may know we're on our way to heaven. There's no doubt about that. Nothing can take that from us. Our salvation is secure. But when you stand before God, are you going to be able to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Maybe there's some things we need to take care of. Folks, that's a message. That's one of the greatest messages that will ever be preached. Not just because Brother Murphy preached it.
Right.
But the message of salvation is the greatest message that's ever preached.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's the whole reason Christ died on the cross.
Yep.
The whole reason why He was born in the manger was for that message right there.
Right.
The message of salvation.
Amen.
I don't know, maybe if you're here this morning and you don't know you're on your way to heaven, I don't know what's keeping you from accepting the Lord. That's between you and God. But let me tell you something. With all my heart, I love you so much, but you better take care of that.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Friends, There's nothing more important than salvation.
Amen.
My heart goes out to people that reject the gospel over and over and over. The gift that is offered to them so much. But something keeps them. The devil uses something to keep them from accepting. I pray for you. If you're leaving here this morning and you don't know that, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I'm praying for you. I know that these other men, these other people in the church are praying for you too.
That's right.
Just because the song's ended and we're going to pray and dismiss here in a few minutes, doesn't mean it's too late right now. Please, pull us to the center. Maybe you just didn't want to come up publicly. Pull us beside privacy, Pastor, or Brother Harmon, Brother Murphy, somebody. Show me how I can be saved. Amen. Christian, let's pray for revival. I've got some things I can change. The Holy Spirit's touched my heart this week. He's broken my heart. I pray He's doing the same thing for you. I'm not going to preach another message. I'm tempted to. We got time. We're not used to getting out until 4:15, so we still got another 20, 25 minutes to go. Now, doesn't have to be long to be a good message. You heard a mouthful this morning. You heard enough to make us think. Ask the Lord to touch your heart. Amen?
Amen.
6:00 tonight. There's no choir practice. So we got a break from that. I know it's been a long weekend. Some of us are tired. Some of us have been sick. We're still recuperating from things. But be here tonight at 6:00. The last revival service. But I'm praying the beginning of revival for Maranatha Baptist Church.
Amen.
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 And so don't forget, be here again tonight at 6:00. Good to have Jose out here with us this morning. It's not his first time out here with us. He's been here before, I think, back when Brother Foster was here. He came out here. And so good to have him back here with us. Again, make sure you shake his hand before he heads out here this morning. Good to have him with us. Brother Mowbray, if you would, please dismiss us in prayer.
Father, I just thank you so much.